Our gospel comes to us this morning from the 10th chapter of Matthew. A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have a master of the house of Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them. For nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There was an article in the paper this week that Martha has been taken out of the filing cabinet and is being prepared to be displayed. Now, Martha, in case you overlooked the article, was the last known passenger pigeon on Earth. On September 1st of 1914, after 29 years on display in Cincinnati, she died. The Smithsonian will be opening an exhibit on the centennial of her extinction and the extinction of passenger pigeons on Tuesday of this week, should you happen to be in Washington. In the 18th and 19th centuries, passenger pigeons were considered one of the most abundant species on Earth. For example, in 1866, Ontario reported that a flock of passenger pigeons 300 miles long and 1 mile wide, billions upon billions of passenger pigeons, darkened the skies of Ontario for 14 hours. By the end of the 19th century, less than 40 years later, there were no known passenger pigeons in the wild. Thus, at the time of her death, Martha was a star, and people lined up in Cincinnati to see her. Her death has been described as the first wake-up call or widespread alarm about human activity causing extinction. The clearing of the eastern forest in North America collapsed the ecosystem in which they lived. Additionally, they were easy to capture, so they were long considered a poor man's food. You know, but just to offer a sense of perspective on the centennial of extinction, let me remind those of you of a certain age that Joni Mitchell's big yellow taxi, remember that, made its debut in 1970, which makes the line about paving paradise to put up a parking lot 44 years old, almost half of that centennial. You know, human intelligence may be a little overrated. Our gospel lesson is taken from a series of teachings from Jesus to the early disciples and now to us, that we are of more value than sparrows is what got my attention. You know, but let's be clear. Jesus is not disparaging sparrows, but trying to keep disciples from despair over feeling insignificant or that whatever they did would not be noticed. You know, Matthew, as we saw in the gospel reading, offers sparrows at 2 sparrows for a penny, which is undercut by Luke, I might add, who prices sparrows at 5 for 2 pennies in his gospel. You know, clearly sparrows were the lost leader of their day. But in case you arrive late, we are beginning a new tradition of Sparrow Sunday. You saw it on the front of your bulletin. We sang God of the Sparrow, God of the Whale as our opening hymn. At the conclusion of the sermon, we will sing an old gospel favorite, God's Eye is on the Sparrow. It was written by Sevilla Durfee Martin, a woman whose husband taught at the Bible College in Johnson City, New York, not North Carolina or Tennessee. Sevilla had visited a friend in Elmira, New York, who lived with a chronic illness. Her friend had told her that she did not become discouraged because my heavenly Father watches over every little sparrow, and I know he loves and cares for me. She was so moved by the witness of her friend's faith that she incorporated those words into a poem that was later made into a hymn. At the time, she and her husband were known on both sides of the Atlantic for their evangelical or revival choruses, and thus it was that God's Eye is on the Sparrow debuted at London's Royal Albert Hall in 1905. Almost 100 years later, in 1994, this gospel classic is assumed as a young man abandoned by his parents and raised by a distant aunt, Kirk Franklin, wrote, "Someone Asked the Question." Now, I want to be very clear. Contemporary gospel, or classical gospel, for that matter, is not our usual music here at United Church of Chapel Hill. But we're going to have fun this morning. We're going to go outside of our sort of Eurocentric comfort zone and sing both of them. Erica Petrillo will step forward to be our song leader with Someone Asked the Question, and you will receive directions later. But Erica and Renee thought it would be easier to sing the hymn as printed on page 11 of your bulletin rather than trying to follow in the hymnal. So when we get to that point, you'll need to look at that. Now, in full disclosure, while I have heard this hymn, I have never sung it before. But this is a Sunday when the choir is away, so we're going to have fun. But you need to remember that whether the choir is here or not, you, the congregation, are always the great choir. So sing out, have fun. Now, while we are more accustomed to metaphors such as sheep and shepherds, there is clearly a several thousand year tradition of using sparrows as a metaphor for our fear of being insignificant, being overlooked, being too small to be noticed, and the continuing witness of our faith that even sparrows do not fall without God noticing. And if God notices the sparrows, counts the hairs on my head, how much more is God watching over me? Those initial disciples had to have looked around and noticed that Rome was in charge, projecting power over thousands of miles. You know, Jerusalem is 1,500 miles from Rome, as the sparrow might fly, or a 3,000-mile march for a Roman legion. But Rome, at that point, projected power out over thousands of miles. We also know from other sources that Rome was not wasting their best talent on this backwater called Palestine, so they sent Pilate as governor. Compared with Rome, Judah was insignificant. And since the initial disciples all understood themselves as followers of God, and in particular the rabbi Jesus, they must have looked around and noticed that there were a lot more Pharisees and Sadducees than them. And ultimately, they had to have noticed that following a crucified leader was not always a confidence builder. You know, they were among the insignificant. These passages in the 10th chapter of Matthew have been described as a set of random but remembered teachings, sometimes referred to as a string of pearls, as the disciples are sent out two by two. Travel light, don't stay long, don't think you're better than you are, don't be secretive, secrets have a way of becoming known, there will be conflict, you and your efforts are not insignificant. In the middle of the AIDS crisis, Chris Glasser, a gay Presbyterian theologian, a classmate of ours, wrote about the crisis among gay men of not just living with the knowledge that one is mortal, after all, we all live with that, but living with the feeling that one was dispensable, expendable. If life doesn't matter, nothing matters. And thus he wrote of the importance of assuring everyone, each one, that they were indispensable to God. This morning we read the story of Ishmael and Hagar. It's a hard story to read. Perhaps it has its origin as a story of explanation. You know, why are there people who aren't our people? We don't know. But the reader or hearer of the story cannot but witness firsthand the terror of insignificance that gripped Hagar. The Middle East in particular, but peoples around the globe continue to struggle with whether God has more than one blessing and whether the significance and indispensability of one, usually ourselves, requires others to be insignificant, dispensable, expendable. You know, whether you are a Palestinian in Abraham's day, or Jesus' day, or today, whether you are Sevilla Martin in 1905, or a visitor to a healthcare facility this afternoon, whether you are Kirk Franklin, or in the foster care system of 2014, whether you're a despairing gay male in 1985, or a terrified older brother in a detention camp on the border today, the witness of our faith is that you are indispensable to God. You're not insignificant, not expendable. And if God's eye is on the sparrow, God's eye is on you. I don't know if she was thinking about sparrows, but all this talk of birds recalls the words of Emily Dickinson. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all. The story of Martha, the passenger pigeon, is the warning that extinction is possible, and it is possible for us to participate in the extinction of another as well as our own species. But sparrows
are also a living metaphor that there is a value to life given by our Creator which trumps in significance, transforms the mundane, and gives purpose. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Friends, in the name of Jesus Christ and through His Spirit, we bid you welcome to United Church of Chapel Hill, an open and affirming God is still speaking congregation of the United Church of Christ. You are welcome here if you identify with a soaring eagle or if you identify with a common and expendable sparrow. For here we know that you are indispensable to God and that if God watches sparrows, God is watching you as well. No matter who you are or where you are in life's journey, you are welcome here.